Welcome back to another episode of EM Sports Talk. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I'm back after 8 months of not dropping an episode. I'm back. A lot of big news to share with you guys. But the most important thing is the big topics. NBA draft is Thursday night. The trade deadline for the MLB is Sunday night or Saturday night, one or the other. And I cannot wait for those things to go down, and I'm going to talk about how bad the Washington Nationals are, my favorite dear heart Washington Nationals, and how we shit in the bed this year. And also, we're going to talk about the big topic right now in all of sports, the Texas and Oklahoma drama with the SEC. And also, we're going to go over what's going on in the Olympics. I know people might be wondering because it come on so early in the day that they can't watch it. We're going to give you an update on the medal count and the big stories going on in the Olympics. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. I've been gone for a while. Just want to apologize for that. But yeah, let's get into the episode.
This is EM Sports Talk with your host, Eric Melton.
So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Thank you for tuning in today to EM Sports Talk. Season 2 is finally here, and I'm kind of excited. I've been gone for 8 months. I've been doing a lot of things to grow EM Sports. Been working behind the scenes. A lot of good news to share with you guys. But before we get into that, today's date is July 27th, 2021. It's my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. Love you. A pretty hot Tuesday morning here in Washington, D.C. But now let's get into the good stuff. Many guys might be wondering, where the hell you been? First of all, okay, I haven't dropped the episode since last year, December 22nd, if I remember. And that episode absolutely blew up. I don't know how. My highest stream episode, it blew up. That's good. But I got caught up in school. Many of you guys might not know. I'm a college student. I'm a senior this year. So school got pretty stressful last year. Got caught up in final exams, midterms, all types of stuff. Got caught up in life. Been a busy guy. But I haven't not been working on EM Sports. The breaking news, I'm working creating a website to interact with you guys more. That's the good news about that. And also that we've been working to get to expand EM Sports, get merchandise. So we've been working behind the scenes. And I'm trying to grow this company. So that's why I've been gone pretty much from the podcast side of things for a while. But that's why I came back, because I thought it was right to share this with you guys. Okay. 83 degrees. I'm looking at the weather. It's hot as hell this morning. And I just dropped more fire on you guys about, yeah, we're releasing a website. Okay. Now that's out the way. I do want to sincerely send my apologies, because I know you guys might have missed me ranting over the Bengals or the Nationals. Oh, they'll even start on the Capitals. But yeah, that's what happened. And I'm back to talk about some big things. The MLB trade deadline, the NBA draft, and also to talk about the Texas and Oklahoma situation. Okay, let's start off. First of all, let's get into this NBA draft, because we already had a pretty good trade happen. Kemba Walker went to the Thunder. If you guys didn't see that, last night, Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe is going to Memphis for Jonas Valanciunas, which I don't know about how I feel about that trade, but maybe Memphis feel like they got to make a push this year in the playoffs. They made the playoffs 2 years in a row. So Memphis might feel like, last year they made it into the playoff tournament and lost, but this year they actually got in. So Memphis feel like they can finally take a jump. They got a nice young core. With John Morant and Dylan Brooks, I thought Valanciunas was one of their big pieces, but maybe I was wrong. Maybe they feel like Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe can help them. Okay, that's a big trade last night. But I think it's more to come. And this is why I tell you this. The Lakers struggling right now to reach an agreement with Dennis Schroeder because he's in the Olympics for Germany right now. And for what I'm hearing, they're just sending KCP and Kyle Kuzma in the package to many teams to get them try to get a starting point guard, okay? But a lot of teams not budging. It's going to take more than those two guys, I can tell you that, because those two are the most inconsistent players in all of the NBA. And Kyle Kuzma is starting to look like a bum, if you ask me. He's terrible. The NBA draft is huge because Thursday night, we can see so many trades on draft night we have never seen before because people now in the year COVID is pretty much done. They're going to get their money back with full capacity next season. They have a little extra money to move players, meaning the Washington Wizards might not have Russell Westbrook next season. They might, and his reports, he might go to the Lakers. Kyle Lowry's a free agent. He might go to the Lakers. The Lakers eyeing DeMar DeRozan. We don't know. But the NBA draft is huge because I think this is one of the most intriguing drafts in a long time. Because you got the player of the year in Luka Garza, who's ranked number 65 on the top prospect list in the NBA draft. So there's a chance that the player of the year in college basketball might go undrafted. That's a shocker, if you ask me. The big story is who's going to go number one. Pretty much Woj reported this morning that the lock is pretty much going to be Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State. And then from 2 through 5 is really interesting because there's a lot of teams are heard that's calling to get the number 2 overall pick. I don't know for who. We're going to find out. But I think the top two guys to look out for that isn't really getting talked about is Luka Garza. I think his game translates to the NBA very well. He reminds me of Brook Lopez. He's another, and you see with Brook Lopez and the Bucks just won the NBA Finals. And oh, Giannis got him a ring. You know I love Giannis. But yeah, he reminds me of Brook Lopez, and a lot of people, scouts are shitting on this guy because his game does not translate to the NBA. You're a fucking scout. You're not. I hate when these scouts worry about the wrong thing. If the guy can play, he can play. It doesn't matter how he gets his buckets and play defense as long as he can impact the team and play. That's my opinion on that. But Luka Garza is a guy to watch out for, and I think Jalen Suggs, because Jalen Suggs, what it seemed like is a lot of people are trying to move up the board to get this guy, Jalen Suggs. And this guy is a star. I think he's better than Cade Cunningham, if you ask me. I think he just impacted the game more than Cade Cunningham. You've seen it in the NCAA tournament. I think he's Westbrook 2.0. He's athletic, can get rebounds. He can play great defense. He can score you points and get you assists. And I think that's what the NBA need today is solid all-around point guard. But this is why the NBA draft is huge, okay? Because this can really landscape next season. And then the draft tells you what path a lot of teams going down to NBA, not really the NFL. But you can see, okay, the Raptors are definitely in rebuild mode, and I'm all here for it as a Raptors fan because we need it. You know, we can't keep paying Kyle Lowry $66 million for 2 years, and we just gave Van Vliet all that money. We just paid Siakam. If we're going to build a team around those two players, let's rebuild it, bring it all down, start over. And at first I was like, why we didn't bring Gasol back or what's his name, Ibaka. And I knew why, because eventually they knew they was going to have to tear it all down. And I understand it's a business and you want to win. And I think the Raptors has the best organization to rebuild it all and start over. Okay, that's out the way. The landscape in the team next year is going to be interesting. Landscape and league, because you're going to see, I think this is the year to see a lot of stars move around. And also, you got Kawhi Leonard, who's a free agent. So maybe you see like the Clippers make a big deal on Thursday because they feel like they're going to lose Kawhi Leonard. The Lakers look bad depth-wise, you know, in the playoffs against Phoenix. Maybe they make a move. And maybe Phoenix make a move if they feel like they're going to lose Chris Paul and they want to get back to being relevant next season. Maybe the Milwaukee Bucks go get another player. You know, I think the draft is so intriguing because you can see so much unfolding on draft night. A lot unfolding on draft night. So I think that's really important as well, to see what happens Thursday. And I can tell you this, it's going to be interesting to watch. I think it's going to be must-see watch TV, just like this situation with the Green Bay Packers. It's must-watch TV. You got to watch it. I think the NBA draft on ESPN, 8 o'clock Thursday night, is going to be really interesting to see what happens between these guys on draft night. I'm not going to get too deep into that, but that's how I feel about the NBA draft. And for all you baseball fans out there, the MLB trade deadline is coming up Saturday at 4 o'clock, I believe, the 31st. So that I think that's, yeah, Saturday at 4 o'clock. And every year we get to around this point, you'll see some names get moved. And the Yankees are disappointing this year. That's a right-handed lineup that needs help badly. And me personally, the Yankees have to make a deal because right now the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Tampa Bay Rays are a better team. Even with Judge and Stanton, I think they're a better team, and I think you have to make the right decision. You got to get these guys some help. You got to get them help now because they need another arm. Their pitching is absolutely dreadful besides Gerrit Cole, and he's been off a little bit lately. So they got to get some more arms in there. And a guy, I think, it pains me to say this because as a Washington Nationals fan, I think the Yankees are going to go at the Max Scherzer. You know, at the deadline, they'd be like, who gives a fuck? We go get Max Scherzer. We go get a couple guys. Let's make a push. At least we made an effort to get into the playoffs. Because right now, it's not looking good for the New York Yankees, who was projected to win that division pretty easily this year. Pretty easy. And it's not looking good for them. It's also not looking good at all if you're a Dodgers fan, even though they're two games back. But I think the Giants just have more leverage of going and getting guys at the deadline. That's going to be interesting to watch how that division unfolds because it's so close. As of today, Tuesday morning, Giants are over top of the Dodgers by 2, and San Diego's 5.5 back. So, me personally, I think if they're going to be any relevancy, they have to go. They have to do it. And me personally, I think if you're the Dodgers, I think they need more bullpen help. A guy like Brad Hand, who's struggling into Washington, a lot of people don't like to trade to the same, you know, conference and all that. But the Washington Nationals might need to go get some prospects. I'm getting to the Nationals in a second. But that's the team I think they need to look out for. The Philadelphia Phillies, they need bullpen help as well. A lot of bullpen help. That's been their main problem. If they don't have bullpen problems, they'd be leading this division right now. The 3.5 back of the Mets, who I think needs to add some depth to. Lindor's out. They got to get some pitch. They got Rich Hill and Knuckleball. I don't get that one, you know. And then they gave him one of the best relievers to get him from Tampa Bay. I don't know what the hell that was. I just don't get that one. That one was a head scratcher. From, you know, they needed arms, but out of all the arms that could have been available, you go get him. If you're a Mets fan, you know, but that's typical Mets, you know. Here's the problem in the NL East. Every team on paper is absolutely dreadful team. It's the worst division in baseball right now, and it's not close. Actually, it might be. I think this is the worst division in baseball right now as a whole, and it's not close, especially in the National League. The Mets are 53-49. The Phillies are 50-49. The Nationals are 40. Well, the Braves are 49-51. Nationals 45-54. Marlins 43-57. And two teams out of the five have a negative run differential. It's terrible. It's you know, it's hard to watch, and I'm getting to the Nationals right now, okay. Here come the rant, because it's hard to watch the Washington Nationals win the World Series 2 years ago, play like ass last year. They were so bad last year, I couldn't even, I barely watched any games. We paid Strasburg $31 million, paid Corbin $25 million, and Corbin has the worst earned run average in baseball this year with a 6.85 earned run average. And he's six. He's like 3-6. He's terrible. He can't get through games this year. Strasburg pitched one fucking game this year for us. One. And he got hurt. One game. He's pitched one game this year. Maybe two. But that's it. $31 million a year for what? We could have, that money could have been to Rendon or building. We wouldn't even be in this problem if we would never paid him and Corbin all that money. And that was, and they're two of the worst pitchers in baseball this season. And I know Strasburg is hurt, but when hell Strasburg wasn't hurt? Why did we pay him $31 million? We got to get this together. And it's time for a rebuild in Washington. It pains me to say this because we were good for 10 years in a row. Throw COVID out the window. We were good for 10 years. 10 years. And now we're just terrible. It's hard to watch. It's really hard to watch the Washington Nationals play baseball. It pains me to watch them play baseball. You can't score runs. You can't pitch. Can't play defense. Shit, defense might be the best thing we have this year. And then last night, you say this. Everyone's available. Rizzo come out and say, everyone's available except for Juan Soto. This is a shamble to the D.C.'s fans. We got to get some type of help in D.C. badly. And me personally, I think knowing who the Washington Nationals are, it's no way in hell we sell at the deadline. Even though I would like us to, because it's time for us to start over. We're going to suck for years paying all these guys money. Why not move them now? But why not show loyalty to Trey Turner, an all-star, Kyle Schwarber, an all-star? You know, and these guys, the Nationals have a really bad problem of keeping their stars. Trey Turner's a free agent next season. Kyle Schwarber's a free agent this season. Schwarber's having the best season of his career by far until he hurt his hamstring against the Dodgers. Missed. He still isn't back, and we have no word when he'll be back. So this is the interesting part of that. But if, I don't know. The Nationals isn't too far out of it, and that's what concerns me, because they're not too far out of it to be buyers at the deadline and bring in someone like Chris Bryant, who we need lots of infield help, but he's a free agent this offseason. Do we go and get guys to make one push at it for the playoffs, or do we sell like Trey Scherzer, Trey Corbin? I think we should trade Corbin over anyone. He suck. I think we should trade Patrick Corbin. We can probably get a bunch of players for Kyle Schwarber, but and this is why I think we have to be sellers at the deadline. The Nationals have the 27th ranked prospect system, farm system out of 30 teams in MLB. Meaning, you have three worst. You have one of the worst farm systems in all of baseball. Meaning, we have one player on the top 100. Prospect list, which is Kay Cavalli, and he's not even in the top 50. It's time for the Nationals to tear down and start over. And I'm not talking about a hard rebuild like the Pirates. I don't want us to be that bad. Or like the Orioles, who just got fucking swept by Baltimore. We lost five games in a row. We got a minus 27 run differential. It's time for us to start over, Nats fans. And you're still going to sell tickets because it's the Nationals, and people love Juan Soto, and people still going to love Strasburg if we keep Strasburg, which I think we are because he's hurt, and we're paying him $31 million. Somebody's going to take that contract. I think this is what we have to do as a Washington Nationals fan. It hurts. But every day I say, why are we paying Strasburg all that fucking money to be hurt? You guys let me know how you think about it, because it pains me to think about it every day. Strasburg suck. He had 1 year where he dominated. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. Strasburg dominated for maybe 2-3 good seasons. But every other season, he's hurt. He tore his, when he was young, when he first came to the Nats, he tore his UCL. He had to get Tommy John surgery. If his anus oblique, if his lat, or if something with Strasburg, it's time to let him go. He's 31. Scherzer is 33. We have to get some young arms in the system. Get these guys out. Bring in new guys. Because we're playing patch a hole with Band-Aids. Austin Voth, not good. Espinillo, he's 29 or 30, and he just, why? Why are we going through this as Nationals fans? We loyal. We sell out games. We celebrate our team. But we're terrible. It's hard to watch when you get blown out. And Brad Hand, who he's paying $16 million for 1 year to give up blown save after blown save after blown save. It is hard to watch. It is. It's sickening. We have to change this now, or the Washington Nationals football will be absolutely shocked. And I said football, I meant Washington Nationals baseball, my fault. But we have to do something, and we have to do something now. And it's bad. You know, enough with the Nationals, because it hurts to even see us go down this path. So, yeah. Let's get into some names I think that will get moved. Last part of this segment, and I think really Chris Bryant is definitely, I think, is going to get traded. I really do. That's one of the rumors getting thrown out there is Chris Bryant. A lot of people believe he's going to get traded. I do believe Scherzer he's a hot commodity. I think he gets moved. You know, the Padres already got an all-star Adam Frazier last night. Well, 2 days ago last night, the A's got Adam Workman, who's terrible. He's having a bad year, but they got to get bullpen help. I think Scherzer gets moved. Chris Bryant. Craig Kimbrell's having a really good year. He's 33, one of the best closers this year for the Cubs. They're out of it, I think. They're not catching the Brewers. Starlin Marte of the Marlins, I think he gets traded as well. He can give you really good depth. But Trevor Story is a guy that I don't think is going to get moved. I think they're just going to have to pay him a big deal in the offseason, because what I'm hearing is the Rockies want a lot for Trevor Story, who's not having the best year offensively, but he's a really good defensive shortstop. Joey Gallo might get traded. I don't know. I think Texas might keep him because they want a guy they can build around for the future. And I don't think Texas is that far out from, you know, being relevant again. I think they 2-3 more seasons like the Tigers, I think they'll be good. I think they're going to keep Joey Gallo, if you ask me personally. But I think the big name, a guy who's underrated, is Whit Merrifield and Trey Turner. I think those are two guys that can get stolen at the deadline, because they're not getting thrown out there a lot. But Whit Merrifield is, I believe he's 29, and they got Bobby Witt Jr., who they just drafted last year or 2 years ago. I think they're going to want him to be that cornerstone guy when he's ready to play next season. I think they got to move on from Whit Merrifield. And I also do think Trey Turner is going to get traded, because he's a free agent next year and is not, you know, like I said, it's not given that the Nationals bring their stars back. Turner's a two-time All-Star. He's slugging it this year, leading off. I mean, he's one of the hottest, you know, shortstops in the game right now. And then Schwarber, I think they can get a deal done with Schwarber in the offseason, if you ask me. I think he loves D.C. Yeah, but that's going to do it with this segment. Next, we're going to talk about Texas and Oklahoma and the big breaking news that just broke about them moving into the SEC. We'll be right back. That's EM Sports Talk. Welcome back, guys. And before I left, we said we was going to get into this Texas and Oklahoma SEC drama. And right now, I can tell you this. Oklahoma and Texas, the breaking news was this morning that they informed the Big 12 that they was going to put in their requests to terminate their TV deals, which expires in 2025. And they put in a request to join the SEC, will begin in 2025. What does this mean? Texas and Oklahoma, if approved, would join the SEC in 2025. And the big question now is Oklahoma, the Oklahoma and Texas ruin the Big 12? I don't know. We're going to talk about that, which I'm giving my opinion. I think the Big 12 was asking for it. Not having a Big 12 championship game a couple years ago that ruined people's chance to get into the playoffs. They give their teams too much too much control. The Big 12 struggled to get teams in the Big 12, as we all know. But is the Big 12 over with? No. Because you got schools in that area like Houston who might want to join the Big 12, get some more revenue, leave American Athletic. You got schools like you may can steal one or two teams from the Pac-12. You may can get a team from the ACC. You never know. I think the Big 12 is not over. I just think they might have to dim it down a little bit because in 2025, college football is going to look completely different. I mean, completely different. And here's my Texas rant. Texas wants to be in the SEC so bad. Mind you, this is 2025 that they make the move to Texas, to the SEC. But Texas can't even beat Oklahoma and Iowa State in the Big 12. They only won three Big 12 championships. Only three, ladies and gentlemen. Three. Oklahoma's at 11. And Nebraska has two, which is not even in the Big 12 no more. They play in the Big 10. So you tell me this. When Texas joined the SEC, they're going to tell them, go grab a seat right there with with Vanderbilt, Mississippi State. Go grab a chair because, what do you want? Okay, you're Texas, and I'm John, the janitor. We don't care. Texas is a really bad – I don't think this is the right situation for them. It brings a lot of money to college football and a lot of excitement. Texas, Alabama, Texas, LSU. But Texas struggles against the SEC. Last time I checked, they lost to LSU last time they played them. They lost to Ole Miss last time they played them. And Texas can't even beat Iowa State and Kansas State every year, let alone Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. I don't think this is the right move for Texas, man. It worries me about Texas because they go through a head coach, it seemed like, every other year. And they just can't recruit. They recruit really well, my fault. They always have a top recruiting class, a lot of five stars. But the thing that's the problem with Texas, why they cannot win in Oklahoma can, the development phase of Texas is terrible. They cannot develop players. Five-star guys get there, big-headed, think they're doing it all. They jump true freshmen, thrown right into the fire, and they suck. I think Texas, it's time for you guys to take a seat back when you go to the SEC. And really think about life because football is going to get harder. It's going to get harder in the SEC. And my opinion on that is why do you even want to force that on yourself? I don't know. Oklahoma, I'm not that much worried about. Oklahoma always been really good. Made the playoffs, never won it. And the Big 12 is not dying competitively because they have never won a national championship in the new college football playoff format. You haven't seen Oklahoma hoist that trophy yet. You haven't seen Texas hoist that trophy yet. Texas haven't even made it in yet. You haven't seen Iowa State in it yet. You haven't. So maybe they want to get to the SEC and, build some luck upon themselves. But as long as Nick Saban is at Alabama, Alabama's the cream of the crop in the SEC. And Vanderbilt and those schools are coming. They're getting better. Kentucky, Florida, I don't know. I just don't feel good about Texas and Oklahoma. And the SEC is good for football, I guess, because you got bigger games and more excitement built around the games. Yeah, I'm all here for it. I'm a college football fan. I love college football. I watch it every year. I'm watching it, even in the offseason, I'm watching college football because it's so exciting to watch. Even a year of COVID, it was really no fans in the stands. There were still some really good games to watch last year. But this is my thing on that. Why, Texas, why do you want to suck even more? You can't. And these next 4 years are going to be really interesting to watch because in the Big 12, they might lose or add members if they know Iowa State. I mean, if you know Texas and Oklahoma's leaving, they might want to add some guys to the Big 12, bring some guys in to the Big 12. I just don't know who they will bring in. Notre Dame's an independent school. Army's an independent school. But I just don't see Army playing in West Point, New York to go all the way down, you know, to the play in the Big 12. And I don't think Army will last in the Big 12. They will get absolutely blasted every game. That's why I think Notre Dame should do. They should just join the Big 10 and the ACC. They join the ACC. They were one of the best one or two teams in the ACC easily. And he's seen it last year with them with that battle with Clemson last year. Notre Dame has to do what they got to do. I think eventually they join another conference. The religious problems was the reason why they left, why they're an independent school, because they can control when they play. It's interesting. This Big 12 hoopla that's going on, the Big 12 is not dead. People are blowing it out of proportion. The Big 12 will find two teams to replace, you know, Oklahoma and Texas. But what concerns me is Texas. Why? You know, Oklahoma goes to the SEC. They're one of the easily top three team in the whole SEC West and East alone. Texas go to the SEC. They're looking top six, maybe. Bottom six, maybe. They iffy because they cannot develop players at Texas. It's proven. They have a top recruiting class every year, and I can't remember the last Texas player that went in the first round of the NFL draft. It just doesn't happen because they cannot develop players. And it's true. Texas is a damn good day two player. They sent a lot of guys home for day two, former five-star guys. Texas has to do better with their team developing-wise if they want to compete in the SEC. And shit, in 2025, Vanderbilt might not even be in the SEC anymore because that's how bad they are. But I don't know. It's going to be tough. It's going to really be tough to see Texas succeed in the SEC. That's just me personally. I think they're going to get absolutely blasted, fucked up. They're going to feel like they have a hangover every Sunday because that's how bad they're going to get their asses kicked. Especially if they're in the SEC East, with Florida and Kentucky and, you know, and those guys. I don't know if that would be the best thing for Texas football, who's struggling in the Big 12 right now as we speak. They had a decent year last year. They were in it last year, but they just could not beat Oklahoma. You lost to Iowa State. So, yeah, Texas, baby, put it in the books. I think Texas is done if they go to the SEC. I think that iconic Texas Longhorn logo and, you know, it's Texas. Yeah, they're going to sell tickets, but Texas, Texas, Texas. That's all you hear. Just because your name doesn't mean you're going to play to your level of – to your ability, and that's what Texas has not been able to done over the last couple years. Texas has to stop the hoopla. They're going to suck in the SEC. And in 2025, Lincoln Riley might not be at Oklahoma. I might be jumping the gun on them, but I think if you look at it right now, and I think Oklahoma is set up better in the SEC than Texas. And I just don't think Texas is built – they're not built like the SEC. The SEC is the cream of the crop in college football. You know, it doesn't get no better than SEC football. So I think it's beneficial to both sides of it, but that's just not, you know, the best situation. Hey, you can tell people, can, if you're listening out there, you can DM us at EMSportsTalk_ or Instagram. You can tell us how you feel about Texas and his Oklahoma move. But me personally, I think Texas and Oklahoma, this is more of a money thing than anything, if you really ask me, because they already bring in millions of revenue money for Oklahoma and Texas. They sell out a lot of games. Texas just got a brand new upgrade to their football stadium. Oklahoma playing at the iconic stadium. But I just don't think this is beneficial to both sides. You know, I think it's more beneficial to the SEC because you got Texas in the SEC now. Like, what the fuck? You know, and that's just mind-boggling hearing that. But me personally, just put a fork in it. Texas not going to do really well in the SEC at all. They can't even win a damn Big 12 championship, which the level of competition is significantly worse in the Big 12 than the SEC. And that's just me talking facts. All right, let's get into the Olympics. The big story of this morning is Simone Biles, the big gymnastics heavily favored. She struggled in the preliminary round. And the breaking news this morning is she's leaving the Olympics due to mental health. Not an injury. It was reports flying out there that she hurt her leg. And due to an injury, it was, you know, false reporting. She went out and today in her press conference and said, hey, it's not all there right now. And, you know, the media has to stop with the false reporting, okay? This is a girl, I mean, mind you, she's in the Olympics. It's COVID going on badly in Tokyo right now. She's just not with her family. Mind you, I mean, people have problems. And the first thing they say, oh, she hurt her leg. And it's like the media took it and ran with it. That's not fair. It's not fair. Simone Biles, though, is out of the Olympics due to mental health reasons. She pulled herself out of the Olympics and is going home to get her mental health situated. Okay. And I don't blame her. Do what you got to do. It's only, you know, it sucks. We might not win the gold now in gymnastics, which we was heavily favored. United States kind of shit the bed in a lot of things so far in the Olympics. But that's one of the big stories out of the Olympics right now. And let me give you a quick medal update for the Olympics. Last time I checked, China was winning, but I'm going to give you a precise medal update right now. The medal count is Japan with U.S. number one with 25 medals. China second with 21 and is tied for third with Japan and Russia with 18 medals. And Japan leads everybody with 10 gold medals, United States with 9, China with 9, and Russia with 7, Great Britain with 4. And that's the medal count right now in the Olympics. I know the Olympics is kind of hard to watch. It comes on like at 6, 5 in the morning, sometimes 3 in the morning. But, yeah, I'm going to try to keep you guys updated on all the big stories coming out of the Olympics. We haven't seen any track and field yet. I think it gets underway really soon. The Olympics is over like in 2 weeks, so I think that is coming up real soon. But, yeah, EM Sports Talk is back, man. Season 2 talked about some good things today. Share this episode. Like it. Leave us a message on here or on Instagram. We'd love to have you guys on the show. Call in, and we will share your message on the next episode. Thank you for listening. And, yeah, we're out.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe for more. And if you missed any episodes, we're also streaming on all major podcast platforms. And also, follow us on Twitter at EMSports_ and on Instagram at EMSports_ for more.